Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, a weekly spin-off podcast where I sit down with my ex-cop dad and we talk absolute nonsense. Dad, I'd like to apologize for being several minutes late. I'd like to also explain why I'm several minutes late, if that's okay.
Well, those suppositories I gave you, I mailed them to you.
Way too big, Dad.
You got them?
You really got to take it. I need them to go down a size if possible.
Cool. You know you're supposed to take them, not orally.
I know.
But I actually tried two suppositories a few weeks ago.
Yeah?
They were so useless, I may as well have shoved them up my ass.
I don't know what I expected. Listen, Dad, I cook a lot, and I've been using a thing called a microplane, which is like a cheese grater, but it's super fine. I mean, extremely fine. It's a specialized piece of equipment. The problem is, Dad, that it is extraordinarily sharp. I mean, very sharp. I'm sure you can see where I'm going with this. I was making a carbonara, and let's just say I had to throw it out because it took a lot of skin off the top of my finger. I mean, a lot.
Shit, Paul.
Well, it's pretty gross. So the reason I was late was because taking a shower with one hand is difficult. So one hand was hoisted in the air, in some sort of Hunger Games style salute, trying to keep it dry. Karate last night was not easy. I also was fighting with one hand. Literally behind my back to stop people, because there's a lot of flailing limbs in karate. I mean, it's a small church hall, and there were about 17 people in there doing a lot of really complex stuff. So I was, yeah.
Paul, it's interesting you mentioned one hand.
Why?
Because that is a classic argument as to why you should be ambidextrous.
Okay. So, but you're a lefty, aren't you?
I'm a left-handed person.
You're a southpaw, yeah.
But speaking of microplaning...
Yes.
A friend of mine has got a massive wart on his leg.
Oh,
is this... Do you know one of the techniques they use for removing warts?
Freezing, burning...
Microplaning.
No, we need to stop this. I'm going to be sick. We need to fucking stop it. Actually, Dad, speaking of the Facebook group... I got a message from somebody who would like to remain anonymous. Can I read it to you?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. This is pretty intense. Hi, Paul. I've just listened to today's pod. Thank you for it. I've never been in touch before, but wanted to... By the way, just as a recap, everybody, if you haven't listened to the last episode, I've just realized context is important. If you missed the last episode, I was almost assaulted, or technically, depending on your definition, I was assaulted in a cinema during the French Film Festival, and everyone was very nice about it. Anyway, back to the message. Hi, Paul. I've just listened to today's pod. Thank you for it. I have never been in touch before, but wanted to send you a message of support. In the early 2000s, my husband and I were living and studying in Melbourne. One Saturday, about 10 a.m., we were walking down Elizabeth Street in the city when we were confronted by two blokes. One was a thick-set guy that in my mind is morphed into Adrian Bailey, Jill Mars murderer. And for some reason, he came up to my husband and put his arm around him tightly and asked him where the best pubs were. After initially jollying him along a bit, he would not let go of my husband. My husband asked him repeatedly to let go, and this only emboldened the bloke, who then put my husband in a headlock. I was trying my best to ask him and his friend to let go. We couldn't help them, etc. And then when my husband said he'd call the police, the dickhead said, "We fucking are the police." At some point after this, he let go and they walked in the other direction. We were both really confronted by all this. To this day, 20 plus years on, it feels like yesterday. And though nothing happened, it was hugely intimidating and upsetting. The bloke at the French Film Festival was completely out of line and clearly a massive tool. I am so sorry this happened to you and Tegan. Look after yourselves and try your best to put it behind you. I totally empathize. with you wanting this guy to receive some kind of comeuppance. But in the meantime, just take care of yourselves. He absolutely was out of line talking in the cinema. I mean, what is fucking wrong with people, let alone the assault and thuggish behavior afterwards? I hope you guys are all okay. We had another incident later that year, but that's another story. Take care. And I won't read their name. I asked them if I could include that story, and they said yes. But, Dad, what are your thoughts on this story from our listener?
Well, having worked with lots of police back in the 80s, the story doesn't surprise me in that it's very possible that they were police. Or they could have been bluffing.
Right.
Would not put that sort of behaviour past some of the police that I worked with. If people would like to go back and refresh their memories about what it was like, just simply close your eyes, get your book Loose Units in front of you, open it up at any page and start reading, and you will realise... the sort of stuff that went on and still goes on. For God's sake, we had a police officer murder two blokes a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get real. Mm. And I know lots of stuff that I can never talk about on this podcast. Current stuff, investigations going on, just unbelievable. I mean, in the media, for example, just a few weeks ago, a police officer has been charged with theft of luxury items at a police station in Sydney. But not at the police station. Mm. This particular officer was on duty. The circumstances that I have been able to glean are that this police officer was actually stealing items whilst on jobs in private residences.
Oh, God.
On duty. So you've called the police in.
Yeah.
And might I say, because it's in the media, if people would like to do some further research, but it's a 42-year-old female police officer, and she's... It's impossible to have a squeaky clean organisation. And when you mix alcohol with... I mean, they could have been detectives. Mm. They could have been undercover. They could have been off duty. Maybe they just thought it was a bit of a joke. But how... I tell you what, if that happened to me... for a little while, for maybe a few seconds, you'd think this is just a bit of a joke and I'm feeling uncomfortable, but I'm going to go with it. But then you begin to realise that this person is not going to let go, and for whatever reason. I mean, they may have been doing it to intimidate the female partner of the guy in the headlock.
I really hope the listener's okay. I know those things can kind of sit with you, but I also just really appreciate somebody reaching out. And honestly, the Facebook wall, the wall of the Facebook page has been... There have been so many lovely messages in support, so much so that I actually feel, I mean this, I genuinely feel better about the whole thing now. I just needed to talk to somebody about it, and it turns out I needed to talk to you listeners. So I really just wanted to say thank you very much. It's been really sweet.
Mm-hmm. And also the listener up here that I spoke to said to me that she could feel the real tension... Yeah. And stress in your voice. It was palpable.
Yeah.
But you seem to have calmed down, Paul. Time is a good healer.
Also, to be fair, I've been up since 5 o'clock. So I do this pop culture gaming podcast with Rad every week called Game for Anything. And also, listeners, do me a favor, go to your iTunes, go to your Spotify, look up Game for Anything, my other podcast, and subscribe and have a listen. I really think you'll like it. Please, we really want listeners to jump across. Because if you all jump across, we're going to top the charts. You are an army of people. And just, please, honestly, just pause the podcast, look it up, do it. Okay, great. I'm gonna assume you all did that. So I was up at 5 o'clock recording with Rad. And if I sound calm, it's because... Normally, when we do this podcast, I've just come back from the gym or whatever, and I'm all kind of, you know, I'm a bit flummoxed. And when I got on the mic earlier this week and talked about the incident at the cinema, I'd just woken up and I hadn't really slept very well. The adrenaline was still coursing through me. So any kind of overnight angst I could have had was purged from me by my 5 a.m. wake up and the fact that I've already recorded a full podcast today. So all of the kind of nerves and jitters and adrenaline and bugs are purged from my system. Who knows, Dad? If you'd gotten to me at 5 o'clock, I may have still sounded pretty tense about this.
Yep, understand. So speaking of the Loose Units Facebook group,
yeah,
the discussion group, well, I mean, Christine follows it, okay? Mm. So she gets in touch. Christine says to me, look, John, there's this really interesting question.
Mm.
I said, can you flick it over to me? And I'm going to read it to you. It has come from one of our listeners. Her first name is Dawn.
Mm.
And the question is this. This is a question for John. As a blind woman, I have always wondered what I could tell the police if I was attacked. I would not be able to give any useful description. Okay, Dawn, really good question, something we've never covered before, but there are so many things
mm-hmm.
that a good police officer, a competent police officer could glean and extricate from you if the questioning, if they ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, they would have to calm you down, but it would be best to interview you whilst things are very, very visceral and clear
mm-hmm.
in your memory. But I've given this a lot of thought, Dawn, and one of the things I thought about that is sort of tangential to this particular question is that when someone who is seeing impaired
mm-hmm.
either has a cane or a guide dog,
yeah,
or just someone, for example, at our local coffee shop every morning, a father and son come down, the father has got a cane, but his son, who would be in his 30s, is holding on to him, guiding him across the pedestrian crossing, and then getting him seated at the coffee shop, which is sort of all the chairs are on a bit of an angle, so it's fairly precarious. So the first thing about the scene with someone who is going to present, I mean, everyone knows. It's very, very obvious. And I think there's generally a really wonderful, calm sense of almost awe and respect. I have deep admiration. Mm. When I see a person walking through the CBD with their cane by themselves, feeling basically
yeah.
their way through. Now, here's the good part of this story, Dawn. I feel that there are going to be witnesses. More witnesses than normal, simply because it's not just thousands of people walking through Flinders Street or George Street or any main street anywhere in any city or town. The fact is that we don't pay much attention to the maelstrom of faces that traverse as we move from point A to B. But when we see someone with a cane, for example, clearly we like to move around them and if there's going to be a crime happening, the chances of having a witness, I feel, and yeah. Paul, I'd like your opinion on this, would be greater. What do you feel about that?
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare.
That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Yeah, potentially.
You can see my logic, though.
Yeah.
Because, can you imagine the outrage if someone attacked someone who, for example, had a guide dog? Can you imagine?
Oh, you'd. It'd be
heavy. Heavy.
First
duty.
Of all, the dog would get involved, and the second anyone hurts a dog, it's like a. People react to that more strongly than humans being hurt. People will not abide violence towards dogs. They just won't do it. I think if you ever wanted a litmus test of people who are evil, you could pretty easily just... People who hurt animals are
fucked. Well, a lot of the stories we've done on despicable
people,
one of the prerequisites...
Childhood incidents of cruelty to animals. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, honestly... there are a few things in this world more pure or noble than a guide dog. I mean... Yeah.
Or comfort dog.
Yeah, or like a therapy dog. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, people... So that's a positive that on the balance of probabilities. I was going to sort of say that it's possibly unlikely that someone that has no vision would be out at night time, but then that's a really crazy thing to say.
Well, I guess, I mean, if you have no vision and you've got ways of traversing your environment, then the day or night shouldn't matter, but then there's safety to take into account.
Forgive
our ignorance, folks. This is a completely new field of discussion for me.
Yes, but some of the things, for example, that a sexual assault that takes a place in... you and I covered the Blacktown rapist some months ago, which was a terrible case that... the modus operandi of the offender was that it was always happening 1 or 2 in the morning. And even back in the late 70s, one of the key things that the police wanted to know, and it's often volunteered by the victim, is the smell. Okay?
Right.
Then you've got things like, because, I mean, I'm going out on a limb, but it's not a great limb, and it's going to say that it is... well known that people who have one sense that is, I don't like to, I'm going to use the word lacking, but it's just not present, then the other senses can be heightened. I mean, have you ever looked at Braille, Paul, on the entrance to a building? And I touched Braille in an elevator, the raised, and I'm trying to get my mind around how people can actually read it. It's so fascinating, but can you imagine how sensitive your fingertips become?
So, what's your conclusion here? What takeaway are you make? What are you talking?
Paul,
are you saying
police questioning? If I was a police officer that I attended the scene of a crime with a blind person, I would be talking about all the senses, what she heard.
Oh wait, are you telling me that
she felt?
Are you
what
telling
she
me
smelt?
That, Dad, are you telling me that if a blind person was a witness to a crime, what you're saying is that you wouldn't ask them what they saw. You would instead ask them what they smelt or heard. Is that what you're saying?
Paul, that would be the worst Freudian slip on earth to say to a blind person, what did you see? Because the answer would be, if they're totally blind, they didn't see anything. Sorry, Paul. Oh, God.
Why would I do that, Paul? They're blind.
Paul, you know what I mean. Look, I'm trying to sort of tread this delicate rope of... I mean, sweet Dawn's probably laughing and thinking, John, just say it.
Well, then
but
say
I'm just
it.
Saying that there are lots of things that you can glean from someone. You know, people hear things happen. They hear something that happens that can then instigate... the calling of the police, for example.
Right.
So, yeah, smell, feel, what you heard. There are so many. It's fascinating, isn't it? It's Paul.
Sometimes you just start talking, don't you? You don't even think about where you're going to end up.
I am thinking deeply.
Are you?
I know I'm thinking because I'm perspiring.
That's not thinking. That's fear at the lack of the...
No, it's not. It's fear.
I'm lost. Oh, fuck.
No, it's not that at all. It's fear of your retribution.
It's not retribution, Dad. It's mild accountability.
You're so funny. All right, Mr. Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, this is a conversation that is involving you as well. So let's hear your thoughts.
What do you mean?
In terms of...
Hang on. You're the one who started off down this path. I'm not going to lead you out of it.
No, but I mean, just from a...
What about you? What about me? This is not about me. I didn't...
No, Paul, let's don your little police hat.
Yeah.
What are the sort of questions you'd ask Dawn?
I'm not a police officer. You're the ex-police officer. What are you doing? You can't put this back on me. This is a question for you, you numpty.
Anyway... Yeah, so my point being,
Dad's done the equivalent of look over there, and then you look back, and he's running. Dad, you know what, Dad? It's okay to say I don't know.
Paul, like, I do know, and I've given some very valid points.
Right. Okay. I've thoroughly enjoyed this, by the way. You know what? It's honestly, this podcast is just such a salve. It's we are cruising towards the 10 million listener mark. We've been going for years now. We've got a brand new season launching this year. We've got all kinds of amazing stuff going on. And yet, one of my favorite things about Loose Units, listeners, is Loose Ends, which is an idea that Dad conceived of during lockdown. He went, you know what? I think people need an extra little dose of something that isn't fucking true crime trauma. And we are... How many episodes of Loose Ends have we done, Dad? Do you know?
Way, way more than 200.
Yeah, we've crossed the 200 line,
mm.
and we've got no signs of stopping. There were all sorts of weird ideas we had. We were talking about things we could do instead of Loose Ends, and then we went, no, Loose Ends is kind of... There are some listeners who only listen to Loose Ends.
Mm.
Literally, they're like, I don't like true crime, I just like you guys talking. So sometimes true crime will creep into this show, but sometimes it's a talk show between a father and a son, which is sort of great, I hope. Mm. Yeah,
Paul, I feel as though I should come back to this point.
Sure.
With the blind person.
I'm just having fun. To be fair, I'm not making fun of blind people. Fun of you.
No, I know you're not. But here's a case in point.
Yes.
Blind person in bank with cane or dog.
Why are you speaking that way?
Don't know. So I'm just trying to put some impetus.
It's not fucking Cluedo.
I'm trying to punctuate.
Right.
I'm using intonation here to punctuate my words as I stumble through trying to sort of claw back some.
John, in airport, make run for plane. Not have bag. Yeah, sorry.
So.
Yeah.
The first thing the police do is they separate all the witnesses because we all know, at least anecdotally speaking, and for some of us in a professional sense, that witnesses will ultimately all chat and the strong personalities will then pull the, you know, and it'll become a sort of a maelstrom of information that is not factual because
it's almost
all
like
the opinions have been put in like making a sort of a minestrone soup.
Well, it's like leading the witness, right?
That's right.
Somebody in the room will state a strong opinion and people will start to kind of, without meaning to, tailor their memories.
And by the time the police get there, it's almost a waste of time. Yep. But, so we separate the witnesses. We separate the blind witness. Mm. It would be fascinating to go through that process of interviewing all the witnesses. Then you come... Not necessarily then you come to, in that I've just sort of intimated that he or she is the last person to be interviewed. You'd probably have to put them in a very, very quiet place where because they've got probably really, really good hearing. Mm. So you'd have to sort of think, okay, we don't want them to hear anything.
Yeah.
But you'd have to have someone with them sort of to comfort them. Maybe. Oh, God. I'm going down the rabbit hole here.
Oh,
but... Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Police come in and they talk to the witness. Wouldn't it be fascinating to hear they're perceptive of an event that took place. They're the, on the balance of probabilities, they're the only person that couldn't see. And they may pick up the most extraordinary. Imagine if they picked up something like, oh, and they dropped something. And then all of a sudden, you're looking down and you find something that's really, really important that no one else would have thought about because they're all shitting themselves.
It's what you're saying really, is that there is value. Yeah, what you're saying is there is value in different perspectives.
Totally, and I think possibly there's a small movie in this. I think it's a great idea.
I actually had a dream once, and this is a true story. I actually had a dream once, and this is going to sound very, very weird, about somebody who got a they got an eye transplant.
Yep.
Right.
Hmm.
And the eyes were from a person on death row who had committed all these murders and never revealed where the victims were. And then the person who gets the eye transplant can see these events, like the after images. And so she basically takes the police to find these.
Fascinating.
Anyway, that's a dream I had. That's not really relevant. I don't even know where to go with this podcast, Dad. I don't even know how to. I don't know how to finish this fucking thing.
Well, it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. It's very good stuff.
And I think everyone brings something to the table.
You know what? You know what else is going to be brought to the table this weekend, Dad? Is Easter eggs because it's Easter this
Mum
weekend.
Mum and I don't know Easter eggs here.
No, why not? Because it would bring joy into your lives.
That's it, Paul. Speaking of blind, this is now okay. Ready for this?
Sure.
You can have a, and this should be right up your alley. Mm-hmm. You and Tegan, because you are bon vivants of the culinary world.
Ho ho.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You can go down into a subterranean mine and have a dinner in the dark.
Yeah.
I mean, how fascinating.
Mm.
What do you think?
Would
you do it?
Well...
And all the staff are in the nude.
Now, that seems excessive and kind of pointless. I guess my issue is...
It's to heighten the taste and smell senses.
Yeah, but I think plating up is such a... I think the visual...
Oh, they don't worry about that. They just throw it. They slap it down. You just feel it.
No, I actually think they would have to really pay attention because you would be feeling the food and it would be important for that to be a... Imagine if a murder happened. You wouldn't be able to describe it. And suddenly you'd be...
Oh, Paul, this is opening up a Pandora's box.
It is. You know what? Yeah.
But back to Easter for a moment.
Just quickly, because we have to wrap. Yes.
No eggs.
I remember listeners, as Mum and Dad...
I'm traumatised by Easter, because in the Dutch tradition, when I was in the Netherlands and it was Easter, guess what they gave us? Hard-boiled eggs with a scrappy little stencil on them, and they'd bury them in the backyard.
So rather than try and repair Easter and give more chocolate eggs and, you know, kind of reshape it, you've gone, fuck that, and you've just bailed on the entire concept.
No, because we always got you kids eggs and bloody good ones and lots of them.
No, there was one year we went from eggs...
Oh, God, you've been traumatised by...
No eggs. You cut it off really fast.
Christine, Paul's saying that one Easter the kids had no eggs. Is that right?
Never,
she said. Ever.
Really?
That is a complete... That's utter bullshit.
So hang on, you think it's out of the realm of possibility that you stopped? Hang on.
Once your kids left home, what's
the point? what's the point? You say sitting at your sweetest school desk in a cold, empty room, devoid of any...
Fuck. Paul, that's so unfair.
Is it?
In fact, I'd go so far as to use a phrase that you've used in the past, and comedians use it occasionally, about going for the low-hanging fruit.
You know what's funny,
Dad? I rest my case.
You know what's funny? You're right. It's not a Swedish school desk. It's a Japanese school desk. Thank you for listening to another episode of Loose Ends. Have a fantastic Easter. We love you all dearly, and we will see you next week. We're going to return to the case of the BTK killer. Have a great weekend. Be kind to each other, and we will see you soon. Bye, everyone.
Cheerio.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.